and no aquarium collection is allowed in Mulalii as part of that marine managed area. And what we're proposing today, those aquarium bans would continue.
Okay. Okay, board members, do you have any other questions? Denise?
Chair, one more question. There were other areas mentioned that were closed to fishing. Is it Ho'okena? Are there other areas that are closed?
Yeah, so 47% of the coastline is closed to aquarium fishing, and it's a network of no-take areas, fishery replenishment areas. There's marine life conservation districts. There's multiple areas along the coastline. We could probably pull up a map.
Yeah, I was going to ask the slide because I think you clarified that there's 40. Now there's 46% of the areas closed.
I think so. With Mulalii coming on board and expanding the no-take area, yeah.
And these rules do not. Chris, did you want to clarify that?
Sure, I was going to say I'm happy to share my screen and bring
yeah,
up
could
the,
you?
A map.
Okay, I want to make sure that we're very clear on what the facts are.
Oh, it looks like I need permission to share.
Oh, Rihanna?
I wonder what percentage of that 8 estimate of yellow tang are in the 54% of open area. 7.6%.
I appreciate the comment, but I'm not going to take public comments, okay?
Just a question.
Yep, no. And if a board member wants to ask it, they can. Okay. There we go.
So, Chris, do you want to point out Mulalii? I think Ho'okena came up as well.
You're on mute, Chris.
Thanks. I'll start in the south. So this yellow area down here, this covers the Mulalii community-based subsistence fishing area. Mm-hmm. This is the Ho'okena fish replenishment area that was set in place in 1999. There's a few different zones in here, two of which are fish replenishment areas, and one is the Kealakekua Bay MLCD, the Kaupolehu Marine Reserve. Oh, sorry, skipped the town ones. Keaho to Kailua-Kona is an FRA, as well as another MLCD and FMA. And then Kaupolehu has the fish reserve or a marine reserve, which used to be the Kaupolehu fish replenishment area. There's two additional FRAs, fish replenishment areas in Kohala, as well as the Puako FMA and Wailea Bay MLCD, and then Lapakahi MLCD up to the north.
Okay. But the Mulalii, when it doesn't go out to the 3 miles, the boundary is a little further inland, right?
That's correct. So most of them.
Yeah, so the
do
blue
not go...
is open.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
The blue has got to realize it drops off so deep it goes to 600 feet.
Okay. Okay. Any other question, board members? Denise?
I have some clarifying.
Yes.
As a new board member, I just want to affirm the facts that there are. As the board, our limits of authority are that such that there is a law that already permits this type of fishing. And our limit, as much as I feel and I hear and I feel for them and want to do something, we are limited by not being able to ban this type of fishing because there is a law that permits it. Is that correct?
So there's a statute that authorizes the use of fine mesh nets for aquarium collection through permit. And based on that law, which authorizes or permits aquarium fishing, our AGs have told us the board, the department is not allowed to completely ban aquarium collection by rule. Whether the board decides to issue permits or not, that's a different story, but rulemaking, we've been advised the board cannot completely ban.
Thank you.
And if I could just add, what shut down the fishery was that court ruling back in 2017. Mm-hmm. So there hasn't been a law or rule that shut down the the fishery. It's that court ruling that the fishery needs to be compliant with HEPA or Chapter 343.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that you mentioned that, the seven permittees that did the EIS and did the HEPA, are they allowed to continue on with their AQ permits, or they don't have a permit right now?
They don't have a permit right now. So
can they come in and apply for a permit? I mean, they did all the requirements that it was mandated of them.
So they could apply for permits. They would be regulated under the old rules, which have like a 40 white list and no ACLs. And so what we're proposing would limit what they could take to ensure that it's sustainable.
Okay. So, and a clarification, the seven, we did not have individuals that submitted a HEPA. It was PJAC.
Yes, PJAC's submitted or completed the environmental impact statement on analyzing in their preferred alternative the impact of take by 7 kilometers.
And so the way, as I understood your presentation, it would be up to PJAC to decide what seven get that initial, may be eligible to qualify for the seven permits.
They can designate the seven, right?
And then after, because these are going to be annual permits, after the permit, assuming that it goes through the process, after year one, they'll be able to renew their permits and they will individually then hold those permits?
Correct.
If they are found in violation, if any one of those seven permittees are found in violation by DOCARE, that could be the basis to ban them from any permit for 5 years. Is that correct?
Under these rules, yeah, they would not be able to, they're not eligible for an aquarium permit for 5 years.
So it's just, they're not eligible for AQ permit. They could get another permit?
The law, I think, for commercial marine licenses, the board can revoke a permit for up to a year.
Okay. But this, what you are proposing under these rules is any violation, and I'm assuming it's not just a citation a violation?
It's a criminal violation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that could be the basis that would prohibit them from applying for a permit for 5 years.
Correct.
Or prohibiting the department from issuing them a permit. Okay. Questions. Go ahead, Riley.
Yeah. So Randy Cates had asked a question about safety. So there isn't a limit on how many divers per permit, right? So you could have two divers in the water. No.
So each permit,
address the safety issue.
So each you need a permit to engage in aquarium collection. If you don't have a permit, you're not supposed to collect aquarium fish. The challenge we have is, you know, if there's a permitted diver and an unpermitted diver, it's really difficult to enforce that the unpermitted diver is not somehow assisting in the collection. You know, with the ACLs, it's not really a resource take issue because they can ultimately land as a fishery up to the ACL. It's more of a fairness issue. If, you know, certain collectors might have assistance, they can have their higher individual catch towards that ACL. And when we talked with the West Hawaii group, at least, I guess they're close enough that they feel they don't need individual catch quotas.
Yeah. I'm just asking, how do you get someone not diving by themselves?
Yeah, and if I could just add, you know, we totally support dive safety. Our own protocols support dive buddies, and we don't prohibit the permittees from diving together either.
Oh.
That's allowed.
Oh, so it would have to be two different permits.
It would have to be two of the seven permittees would have to dive together. So that's allowed. Mm-hmm. We just don't allow a non-permitted diver to be in the water because of the reasons that David described.
But they can be on the boat.
They can be on the boat, vessel. Yes.
Yeah. So but if someone
can't see the diver underwater.
Yeah, so.
And they're in scuba, right?
Yeah, so that's a legitimate safety concern, but you could have two of the Pyrmides diving together and have a dive buddy that way.
Oh, that's
But it could come up as a discussion later, right?
Yeah,
during the
during the rulemaking
rulemaking
process.
process.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Okay.
If it
Okay.
goes
So if
that
you
route.
want to amend the rules
Yeah.
before going to public hearing, you could remove that part that says that prohibits a non-permitted diver from being in the water with a permitted diver.
So,
I mean, even a spotter on the surface or something.
oh,
In the
wait.
water,
Oh,
right? You're
like a
looking.
snorkeler or
Yeah.
something.
Not somebody standing on a boat trying to see through the water if the guy's in trouble.
So,
Right?
yeah.
Yeah.
So if they reach their, let's say within a month, they reach the quota, then it is closed.
Yeah, whatever species the ACL is reached for will shut
Yeah.
down for the rest of the season.
So, okay. So the ACL, that is the primary driver. If at some, if they, yeah, if when they reach that and you have a notice date, like a you're going to notify them 3 days in advance or some period of time.
When it hits 95%
Yeah.
of the ACL, we'll send them notice.
Okay. Yeah. When they hit that, whether it's 30 days or 11 months, that resource will be closed for any continued guests.
Nice.
Chair, I have a
Yes. Oh,
follow-up
please
after
go
you.
ahead. Okay. No.
So I wanted to
Yeah.
circle back on
Yeah.
something you mentioned about a fee structure. And before you go out, would it be possible to insert a fee structure in the rules?
I guess there's just that question about whether we have the authority to tax, and I don't know. What are your
Well,
thoughts on that?
so if we did implement a fee for the aquarium permit, we would recommend it being consistent with all of our other license and permit fees, which is $100 per year. Just in
Which maybe
fairness.
we need to revisit everybody's commercial license permit. I mean, that is a that is that's when they're all making a commercial, an extractive activity, rendering a benefit. Yeah, I mean, because I also recognize the Department Division of Aquatic Resources, like our Division of Forestry and Wildlife, you generate no money other than we now have the ocean stewardship. But besides that, you don't generate your own revenue. So we have got to think about a creative way to make the register the and whether it's an annual, a registration fee commensurate with DOBAR has, and I recognize that's by statute, that's why they can charge 3% of the commercial
Gross
their gross
revenue.
revenue.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's something we need to look at, Senator, to institute. So that is nothing. $1,000. I mean, for all of
Yeah.
ours. But I mean, and I appreciate that Senator Favela and Senator Decord is here, because we also do say, I mean, this is a legislative matter as well. So thank you for being here the whole time. Denise, did you want to add anything more?
Yeah, no, I just realized it is work. I did come from working within the state and having to face those same issues and making those changes. It was not easy, but once we did it, things became more remunerative. And the population understood, especially if it was going to be a revenue-making activity. So I know it's tough. We got to start somewhere.
Karen, did you want to ask? Did you have a question?
No, you're okay. So
Think
I don't have any right
well,
now.
where his hand is up. We heard a lot of testimony today, in particular about Hole and then Umamale. And those you have Kole, 12,775, and then Umamale, 5,827. And I'm gonna share with you, I mean, Kole is for our family. That is a, when you only have them at special occasions. I mean, we were raised only royalty could eat Kole, but nowadays when you have a party, that's one of the main things. If you can get Kole, but nobody's selling it, they're just catching enough for the party. I mean, I will share that that is a concern only because on the herbivore rules, we are prohibiting a certain take on a certain size. And here we are permitting. I know that you guys have shared that the, what is it, the fatality rate, or
mortality.
when they're too small like that. But there is a, like I said, I guess a cultural issue for me, both on the Kole and the Umamale.
Yeah. Can I make a motion to go into executive session?
Okay.
Board, I request that we go into executive session pursuant to section 92-5A, subsection 4 HRS, in order to consult with our attorney on questions and issues pertaining to the board's powers, duties, privileges, immunities, and liabilities.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion has been moved and seconded to go into executive session. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And we will step out. You may all stay here. So we're going to be in executive session. session. We were an executive session to confer with our Deputy Attorney General on our duties, privileges, and liabilities specifically related to item F2 on the agenda. With that being said, board members, we were asking the department any final questions. Do you have any final questions? Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Brian and David and Chris and those, and Kelly, those of you on Zoom, thank you for being available. All right, board members, we have heard lengthy testimony all day. We appreciated everybody's patience and waiting and being here with us. We also appreciate everybody's civility. This is not easy. I recognize this is a very hard decision. So with that being said, do I have a motion, board?
As a Hawaii Island representative, I make the following motion. First of all, this is all preface based on we are legislatively required to allow aquarium fishing. Okay, so we cannot ban it, we cannot prohibit it. Based on that understanding and based on the policy setting nature of BLNR, that we can consider social and cultural norms that we feel are appropriate, I propose the following approval of item F2 with the following amendments. First of all, I'd like to exclude from the ACL all the fish that are typically considered to be Native Hawaiian food sources. Okay, so that would include the kole, umaumale, and chevron tang. Okay, so those ACLs are zero. Okay, as far as the la'ipala, the yellow tang, from a ACL of 200,000, I propose a reduction to 100,000. Part of the reason for that is because there are numerous propagators of farm-raised yellow tang, including Oceanic Institute, Biota, and other organizations that have perfected or at least improved the ability to farm raise the yellow tang fish. Okay. I've been out to the Oceanic Institute location out by Makai Pier, and they've explained what they've done as far as the food sources to enable the fish to survive between the 3-day age and 30 days when the food sac that they're born with is depleted and before they can eat other types of food. So the plankton sources that they can develop enable that species of fish to be farm-raised. Farm-raised has a higher likelihood of survivorship. Similar to freshwater fish, they are raised in cages, fed commercial feed, and so their likelihood of survivorship is much, much higher. Okay. On the other species of fish that are proposed, the Potter's Angel fish, the Mai'i'i'i, Hinalea i'iwi, and the Thompson Surgeon fish, I propose that those quantities remain the same. So Potter's Angel fish at 1,086, Mai'i'i'i at 800 fish per year, Hinalea i'iwi at 344 fish per year, Thompson Surgeon fish at 182 fish per year. Okay. We are asking the department to find a solution on the safety issue raised about allowing an additional diver to be in the water with appropriate diving gear. That would be scuba tank. So if that someone on the bottom collecting fish got in trouble, that person could respond immediately. Okay. And we need to find a way to have prudent dive safety measures implemented so we're not risking people. And I think it's unlikely that two permittees would collaborate together to dive in the same place on the same time and the same day. So I think we need to find a solution to allow that safety diver. Okay. We're also not clear, but we would like DAR to propose some kind of fee structure that the Attorney General's office will allow, or possibly the Senate would permit, to be proportional to revenue or quantity of fish or something like that. I mean, a flat fee to me seems inappropriate because you might hit the limit after a month. And I don't think it's appropriate to charge everybody the same fee if they don't harvest the similar amount of fish. Okay. Anyway, that's my motion.
Chair, I will second that.
All right.
And I'd like
We
to
are in
comment.
discussion. We're in
Yep.
discussion.
I'd
Go
like to
ahead.
comment quickly. Before I comment on the Nohona Hawaii part of it, the cultural side of it, I just wanted to mahalo Riley for that. And I hope that the people that heard that his amendment demonstrates that this board is very capable. Riley not only knows the science, but he knows the operations behind the issues. And so I quickly wanted to second and bolster his mana'o with the same fact about our ability as a board to answer on the Nohona Hawaii side. So thank you for your indulgence, Chair. So
Thank you very much.
I heard in the testimonies a constant theme of trusting the science, the science, the science. And that is Dar's Kuleana, and they're very good at it. In fact, all our divisions have science and they're very good scientists. But the science has inherent limitations. It is absent of morality, values, cultural values, if you will, and experiences. You know, science is confined to what can be observed, what can be measured, what can be tested. You know, they can report on the phenomena of things, but it cannot provide definite proof or final answers, absolute answers. And so these puka, these holes, if you will, is where our community, our Kanaka Maoli community, comes in and fills these gaps. And I didn't hear that our community or Lahui requesting finality. What they're begging for and asking for is continued consultation and consideration for these phenomena that the science is absent and quiet to. You know, we all, no matter what culture you are, we're human beings and we experience these phenomenal things in life. And that's why I was a little disappointed when I hear comments of, you know, undercutting one another, communities saying, you're incapable of understanding the science. You're incapable of comprehending. I don't agree with that. Now, as far as I'll say one more Hawaiian thing. My definition of pono, or a definition of pono, is doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. And as far as timing, my mind, the science, if you will, I understand it. So contrary to popular belief, we us board members read everything and we understand it to varying degrees, but we understand it. But also my na'au, which makes me Hawaiian, which answers to the morality and the culture of things, the point I was trying to make. Both these things, in my mind and in my na'au, haole makaukau, we are not ready yet, but that's okay. I think the things that Riley has recommended to be a problem solver is maika'i. So that's why I seconded and will support. And I hope that our community, our legislators will help join in this kakou, because it's very difficult. And I think our chair eloquently said it again, that our kuleana on this board is very, very fragile and very difficult. But we must do it. We must. So in closing, chair, thank you for your indulgence again. I think we can be better. And I hope that the science and those that believe in the science understand its limitations and actually reach out across the aisle to us Hawaiians, because we know the science as well. You know, once upon a time, they told us that the earth was flat. That was the science. So here we are today, and I think there is so much value and mana in our lahui. And I please, please, let's be better and not discredit the Hawaiian community. Mahalo, Chair, for your indulgence.
Can I have
Thank
a
you very much.
comment?
Yes, go ahead. Do you want to say something?
Thank you, Kaveh. That was very well said. Thank you. So this morning, most of you were, if not all of you, were here. The way that this agendized item started was a little heartbreaking for me because it challenged two of our members. Here we are at the end of the day, and you done good, Riley. You know, so I just wanted to share that with you because it's not easy sometimes up here to take the abuse, but we do it, we don't get paid, and we love what we do. And we just want you to know that what we do is for all of you and what you stand for. But thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Can I thank Brian and David for the work that they did and laying out everything so that it was easy for us to understand the process from years ago to today, to where we are right now. Thank you.
Chris and Kaylee on there too.
Yes.
Thank you guys.
It was a team effort. I wish.
Okay, now we all leaving in tears.
Denise, do you want to say anything before we take a vote?
Yes, Chair. Thanks again to the staff. Thank you for those words, Kaylee. You carry the heavy burden of being the cultural and traditional practice rep on the board. So very well said, very timely. I really appreciate that. And thank you, Riley, for coming up with a solution. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Point of order, Chair.
Yes.
Just to clarify, because what I thought I heard was that you made a motion to send these rules out for hearing.
Subject to these amendments.
So maybe the first half of those amendments were really specific. So I can see how you did like amendment on the fly. Solutions for diver safety and new fee structure are like things that DAR is going to have to write from whole cloth. And so am I understanding correctly that they will amend that?
Yes, before
approval from the board before, and then just automatically.
Well, they're going to have to implement the board's guidance, which is to come up with a safety solution for the dive. The second one is to come up with a fee. We may not be able to do that. It may be a legislative matter. So I think that what the board is asking them to do is confer with the Attorney General's office on what we can do. Because I also recognize, I mean, the fishers are right. We need to treat everybody fairly. If we're going to start charging commercial fishermen, we're going to start charging them equitably. So, but if we cannot make that change in this set of rules, I think the guidance of the board is we would like to go out to public hearing on these rules in a timely fashion. And then let the process vote out. Because as you mentioned too, there may be substantive changes that require it to come back to the board.
The board won't get a chance to review these amendments before it goes out to the public hearing.
You're correct. Other than the chairperson, because I think the other is to delegate authority to the chair to sign the rules as approved by the board, and we appoint a public hearing officer.
Thank you, Chair.
No. Okay. Yes, that will be in the room. Okay.
I had a question as well. In terms of trying to find a safety solution for the diver safety issue, which I agree, Member Smith, that that's a really important consideration. One of our concerns with having just a dive buddy and the challenges of enforcing that they're not helping the collector collect fish is fairness, that you know you could have people collecting more in one place than another permitted team. Would you consider adding the ability for us to scope individual catch quotas associated with each permit to kind of address that fairness issue for the dive safety?
I don't think we went that far. We were just looking at the cumulative catch quota, but not at individuals. And maybe there isn't a solution, but I mean, I think what the board is asking for you to come up with some potential recommendation and let it go out to public hearing, and then let's see what comes back. The public may have a better solution than what we come up with. But I think it is sort of a compromise. How do we move forward? But yet taking into consideration all of the comments that were said.
7 o'clock.
I hope that makes sense. So there may be some things you may be able to do and some you may not be able to. Sorry. Alvin, did you want to say anything?
No, I don't want to prolong the meeting.
Because he wants to go to a game.
Okay. But I will tell you, Calvin Young is a new board member. He went back and watched the December 2023, the 3 days of public comments, two of them, which were probably all related to AQ. So my only comment is, you know, I think you've heard from all the board, this is not an easy role that we play, that we, the kuleana that we've all assumed sitting here, but we do take it very seriously. And I And I'm hoping the board's actions convey to you a message that we listen to what you guys have to say. Our kuleana is that social and cultural considerations. The department looks at science, but we're looking at what we hear socially and culturally. What are those considerations that must be considered as we're looking at our different actions? We're not going to please everybody. I know that there are some who would like to see total ban. There would be others who'd like to see, no, let us do whatever we want. So we're trying to walk this very fine line. So with that being said, I am going to call for the vote. And Rihanna, why don't you do a roll call vote on this one?
Aye.
Member
Aye.
Member Young?
Aye.
Chair
Chang? Aye.
Member Smith?
Aye.
Member Consul?
Aye.
Member Yoon?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes unanimously with 7 votes. So again, thank you everybody for spending your day here with us and providing us the comments. I would urge you to talk story to the legislators for a different fix, but we are going to try it. You saw what the staff's schedule is like, so we're going to try to see if they can make the amendments consistent with the board action and try to move forward. Okay? So again, thank you, everybody. Greatly appreciate it. Thank you, Ka'ivi, for being with us this whole day. So
Hi.
We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. So with that being said, having no other business before the board, we're adjourned.
Hello.
All the chair, my whole board.
Everyone, thank you.